Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, as we live, we see change in the world around us. Some things stay the same. And Lord, we pray that you watch over us and protect us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for carrying us through the things that go on all around us. Some of them are difficult, and some of them are just plain life. When I think of the farmers in the world, Lord, they need their crops to grow, and people with jobs have needs, and we, with our personal life, have needs. Lord, guide us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the farmers have always needed the weather to be suitable for their work, and they pray for God to give them good weather. Whether it is rain or heat or cold, farmers have needs, and we all have needs as well. We need the Lord to provide the harvest. Mankind has always needed God to help with this or with that. And in America, we have a relation with God in our history when people have prayed for this or that, and God provides a way. When I think back to George Washington, how he needed to cross the Potomac River, and God froze the river so he and his troops could cross the river. Another time, George Washington needed to escape from his military foes, and God provided a dense fog so that the escaping army could not be seen. God has protected us, and he has given us blessings throughout history. Even today, God is real, and he acts in the life of those who ask for his help and believe in him. God provides, and men make decisions based on what is in front of them. I suppose we have divisions in our life because we want to avoid trouble, but sometimes trouble comes anyway, and sometimes we need God to protect us. Yes, Lord, we do ask for your protection as we struggle with the events of this world. I think of the Amish people and the Hutterites or the Mennonites, and they ask for provision for God. That's a pretty regular thing. I have known a few people of those denominations, and they live faithfully to God, and they ask God for blessings. And we all choose to live a certain way, and we do ask for God's blessing also. Let us be faithful and have a testimony about the faithfulness of God. The Bible has many books that testify of God watching over us and giving us blessings, giving us miracles that have happened in the ancient days and in early America, and the miracles happen today also. Oh, 3 weeks ago, a prayer group I am a part of had one of its members in Africa, and there was a great, when it wouldn't rain for weeks, and actually for months. And that's what happened. So they were wanting rain so that their crops wouldn't die, and so that their farm animals could drink, and also so the people could drink. It was a real trouble. So the prayer group prayed for a few weeks, and what a blessing that it rained in Africa for that village. God bless them, and God bless the people who pray for other people. Well, you get to decide for yourself what happens and your relationship with God and how miracles happen, but we do have miracles happen. I know I spoke about a miracle a couple of weeks ago, And that was in my life. But I know people who have had miracles. They are things that just shouldn't happen in normal life, but they do. And we thank God for his watching over us and providing the best that there is. Some people only believe a miracle when a scientist or a doctor tells them that it is a miracle. Well, I think that's relying on the scientist or the doctor instead of God. But sometimes it just works out that there is a witness to a miracle. We witness the miracle, and sometimes a professional person also witnesses the miracle. So what is it going to take for you to believe? Is it going to be your own experience or a person of science who tells you that it is a belief, that it is a miracle? And there are believers really all around who have had miracles happen. And maybe it wouldn't be documented the way you would like to see it documented. But just think, what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe it because a believer told you it was a miracle? Or are you going to believe it's something because a person of science told you? Well, that's a part of our choices in life as to who or what we believe. And I don't know if it has an effect on our eternity, but it might. Because it has to do with, do we attribute things to our faith in God or our faith in a science thing? Well, there's questions, and we have a lot to figure out in life with the questions we do have. And I do hope you search out the questions and be thankful for the blessings and the miracles that go on around you. Well, believers are kind of interesting because sometimes it takes a lot to believe, and sometimes it's a very simple thing where somebody is told about the gospel of Jesus Christ and they believe. And I know for me, it took me years of study, reading the Bible a couple of times, reading a whole bunch of other books, and pretty soon the evidence was so certain that I decided I had to be baptized and become a follower of Jesus Christ. But we all have a different path towards following Jesus. And a part of that can be that there are miracles that happen, things that just would not happen naturally, and they do. And so we say, oh, God must have provided a miracle. And then there are people who believe. We all have a little different path to our belief in God, but we pray for the peoples who do not yet believe, because it's a wonderful thing to know that there is a God and a Savior, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Now, some people have to experience a very difficult time, and then they might become a believer. And I think about people I have known who became a believer when they had tribulation in their life. Perhaps they were in prison. Perhaps there was some great difficulty, and they found out that God was with them through it, and they became a believer in God through Jesus Christ. Now, we all have a different experience, and some people know the beauty of God, and they become a believer. I think of traveling through Europe, how there were cathedrals. Oh, I've been to many cathedrals in Europe, and they were beautiful and wonderful. Notre Dame, when it was still there, was wonderful. The Cologne Cathedral, again, beautiful and wonderful. And I think about the music that went on in those cathedrals. Absolutely beautiful. Even the Vatican at Rome, beautiful. So, yes, I have seen many big, beautiful cathedrals, and I've seen many country churches, both in Europe and in America. And it is a moving thing to have the experience of being in one of those big cathedrals It's also a moving thing to feel the pipe organs in those big cathedrals that just kind of echo through your body. It's a beautiful thing to hear the singing of the choirs in those big cathedrals. It is wonderful. And sometime it is such an experience like that that brings us to God through Jesus Christ. We all have a different experience. I remember one that moved my heart, I will say, my heart, my being. And that was about 12 years ago. I was on a mission trip to Thailand, and it was to Thailand and the areas around Thailand. And it happened that I was in a little teeny country village, and it was Sunday. So, of course, I went to church in Thailand, and the church was more like an empty warehouse with a bunch of folding chairs in it, more like that than a church. It was about 30 by 60 feet, so it was not big, but the people in it were, well, they wanted a relation with God. That was obvious. Certainly they were not rich. They were relatively poor people. I noticed after the church service that there were two pickups parked at the church. Everyone else walked to church. And there were probably 40, maybe a couple more people at the church service. So, obviously, it was not a rich church, but the singing at that church was absolutely holy. I remember the women singing to God, and it was so very beautiful. It reminded me of heaven, because it's just great beauty. So, yes, I've seen the big cathedrals in Europe, and I've seen a few in the United States. And yet what moves our heart to be close to God through Jesus Christ? It's different. We all have a different experience, but we all want to become close to God and have an eternal relation with Him and have the promise of heaven in front of us. Well, there are people who have had a vision from God, and they become a follower of Christ. There are Muslims in the Middle East who have had a vision of Jesus Christ, and they become a follower of Jesus Christ. So, there is a wide variety. People in jail, people in a beautiful church. And I don't know what your experience has been, but we thank God for all the people that have develop their faith in Jesus Christ. Well, we each have enough love in us to, yes, love God, and yes, love the people around us, to encourage our fellow believers. And we can be thankful that God has saved us from hell and provided a heavenly, eternal future for us. We thank God for that. Well, it is a narrow path that we walk, and we learn as we go along how wonderful it is to have that relationship with God. We all get caught on one thing or another as we think about the intellectual part about our relationship with God, and it is different, just like our emotional experience with God is different. But it is up to each one of us to come to God and ask Him for that relationship so that we can have a beautiful eternity here, starting here on earth and continuing into eternity in heaven. Well, we have heard news all around the countries of countries that are having problems with each other, even wars with each other, or They profess that they will have vengeance upon another country. That is going on in our world right now. Our world is full of anger, full of war, full of vengeance. And we want to be thankful to God for the peace that He provides us in the name of Jesus Christ. And we know that there will be wars and rumors of wars. That's what Matthew, Mark, and Luke say. And there will be famines and earthquakes and diseases. We know that because it's in the Bible. And still we know that we will get through these things with God, who provides us with hope and even provisions. Now, I do think about the war that is going on, and I think about what could happen in our future, and that there could be a nuclear accident or a nuclear exchange. And so I do urge people to do what we can to prepare for if that happens. And what I suggest is to have a bottle of potassium iodide pills for you and your family members, especially the children. And that will prevent the radioactive iodine from being absorbed by your thyroid gland and therefore killing it. So your life will be much better when your thyroid gland works. And so that's why I urge everyone to have that bottle of potassium iodide pills. It'll cost a little bit. I mean, what, $30, $50, maybe $100 if you get a big bottle. It's all a little bit different, but it'll be so good if there is a nuclear event to have the potassium iodide pills. And the European countries, many of them around Russia, have already distributed potassium iodide pills to every household in case there is a nuclear event or a nuclear war. And like I said, I hope you get a bottle. Well, we all have things going on in the world. We all have concerns, and we prepare as best we know how. I think of people who have medical needs, or maybe they have a prescription that they need to or want to take for their life to be good and normal. So there are things that every one of us can have on hand so that in case there is a disruption in our supply chain, that we have some water and food and warmth. And if you need prescriptions, I hope you have a few of them. Have some extra. Yes, for you, maybe even for other people. So I think about the professional preparedness people, and they all have ideas about what everyone ought to prepare for. And in my discussion with first responders, I have found that there is an attitude among first responders that everyone should have at least a few weeks of food and water on hand and whatever they need. They really think that 3 months would be a good place to start. But we only can do so much, and yet I urge everyone to think about what you would do if you could start preparing for 3 months of food and water, water filter, whatever else you need. We all have different ideas, but get a list together and see what you can figure out for just in case there is, yes, a war event or a natural disaster. And that's more what I think of as a natural disaster, like an earthquake that might make the earth plates shift around. Or there might be Yellowstone or Mount Hood or some other volcano on the West Coast that suddenly goes off. There are volcanoes around the world. And they are from Alaska to Argentina. They're all over the world. And one big volcano can change your life by cooling off the atmosphere. So I certainly do suggest that everybody has provisions, because if the atmosphere is affected, then we can be pretty sure that life would get a whole lot colder and the crops that we expect might not mature. So get yourself a little supply of food and, of course, water and warmth. Anything that you want, you can add to that list. And somehow it's better to be prepared before you have a need than anything that is too late. If an event happens, it's almost too late to prepare because everyone else will be preparing also, and then what you want would not be available. So get your list together and see what you can buy now to prepare for the just in case. Now, everybody has a different idea. Some people want to be prepared for 2 weeks, some for 2 months, some for 2 years. And I don't know what to tell you, because all I know is I've seen people suffer in the world, especially the third world countries, when they don't have what they need. And their needs are pretty basic, and so are ours. But if you want to get things that you would like to have, that's a little different. But it is still a matter of getting a list and writing down what you would like to have on hand for the just in case, and then put it aside. I do have my pamphlet that I urge everyone to get a copy of. It's free. If you would just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, I'll return that to you. But we have all experienced things that have been near us. Now, maybe it didn't affect us, but it affected people we know. There have been fires and floods and hurricanes and volcanoes. All these things are going on in the world, and that means it could happen to you. So have your water and food and warmth. It's time to do it for the just in case. Now, whatever your list of preparedness items, it's different for everybody. I mean, some people would not be happy unless they had jumper cables and an air compressor for their car. All right, fine, that's good. It's just that we all have to have an idea of what we want and then go ahead and get those things. Because trouble can come along anytime. That's why I've been prepared, is because I've had things that have happened in my life that have been trouble. And much of the time, I have learned to have a few things on hand so that I can get through that event and not die. Oh, I say that funny, but it's actually not that funny, because it's pretty serious when you have certain events happen. And you do have to be careful about people in this world, because when people get desperate, they do want to have what you have, and they will take it. So a part of what we are concerned about is that people would take what we have, and so we might want to be a part of a community. There are things that go on, and there are blackouts that have happened in many areas when the electricity has gone off, and then people have needs. Of course, I think of car accidents, too, because of the one I had. It was most unpleasant to be bleeding out and still having a while to get to the hospital. So I just mean, I know what it's like to have emergencies. I know what it's like to want to be able to fix things. Some things we can, some things we can't. But if you have a list, it works better to be prepared so that you can see how to prepare for what it is you want to be prepared for. And of course, I think of being prepared for heaven and your eternal destiny of heaven. So you have to have a relation with God, and we very often get that by knowing God's word and seeing how to live. That's kind of what the Bible's about. But I hope you search it out for yourself. Read God's word, and even though we are imperfect, we have a God of mercy, and we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I think that's what the answer is. But that means show that you have a relation with God through Jesus Christ. Show it to the people around you. And there can be many events. There can be spiritual things that happen. There can be physical things. And I hope you speak to people about the events in your life. And that brings people to know God through Jesus Christ when we speak about what has gone in our life. It's a witness to what has gone on. Sometime we get in a great big rush and we forget to do this or that with maybe material things or maybe just a conversation that we would have with somebody. Maybe it's about Jesus. So that's the thing. If you have what you need, you will be in less of a hurry to get this or that. And I think of how important it is to have that attitude of preparedness. And it really means to act on it, to do it. And when I think of acting on things, I think of the story in Matthew 21:28, where a man sends his two sons to do work in the vineyard. And one son says he will do the work and then doesn't. And the other son says he will not do the work and then does. So I think that story illustrates how we all have these issues in life that we have a trouble with, to say we're going to do something or to do it. And I think ultimately the answer is we have to do things. That's what I see. So you read the Bible verses and you get your own ideas, please. I have concerns, and I think everybody has concerns about what goes on this life and what goes on in the afterlife, which means heaven or hell. So we talk about these things so that we have an encouragement about going to heaven. And I think of Matthew 7:14 about the wide path leading to destruction and the narrow path leading to that heavenly place. And that makes me want to make sure that I'm on the narrow path so I can get to heaven and not be on that broad highway to hell. Now, there are different passages that we can learn from. I think of Romans 10:10, and it talks about how when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. So what is it going to take for you to be saved? That might be a first step. That might be a repeated step. I don't know, but I hope you search it out and you live a life obedient to God. It is interesting how we see how different people have different beliefs, and I think you need to live those beliefs. And I think that's what we do, the best we know how. I do admire people who have a faith and then live for that faith. I think of the missionaries that I have run into, known. And or it might be a pastor that is in a faraway land. And so there they are, living out the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people around them. And I just think, wow, what a wonderful thing to do. God bless them. And so if you have support that you can send to a missionary or a organization that supports missionaries, I think that would be wonderful to promote the kingdom of God among the people who don't know God. Yes, support the missionaries and then give them the money that they need to live and do the work throughout the earth. I have stayed with a couple of missionaries and a pastor, and it's just a wonderful thing to see their faith at work when they go through life, and they are really living what I consider to be a very godly work. And so that's what they do, and I'm thankful for them. In a foreign land, it's not always easy. But I pray for those many Christian ministries who are in other countries. It's a big thing to do. And so I hope that people have a few dollars to donate towards the missionaries. I think about God answering prayers. I think about Jeremiah 29:12, that is often quoted about God wanting to heal his people. And I think the thing here is his people. Do you belong to God? Would you like to be healed? Or do you belong to him? And so what are you doing in life to show that you belong to him? It's something I can't answer. I have a question about it too, because how do we show we belong to God? Is it just one way, or is it many ways? And I think that's something I have to leave to each person to decide how they are going to show it. Well, the Bible might tell you things like that. The Bible has lots of advice in it. And even if we don't think it talks about... Oh, I know. If we think about the Bible talking about shortages or about the price of gas or about what we should do to stockpile, there are answers in the Bible that talk about storing up. There are things in the Bible that talk about the economy. And we can see the examples from ancient times to the New Testament. And so we get an idea of how to deal with the things that are right in front of us from the Bible examples. And that's what I think it's wonderful to talk to a pastor about, because they will have these things that they can think of easily. And they do tell us about the things that are of God and how we can live in a godly way. Now, the Bible has the examples for us to learn by, and I think everyone ought to do that. I remember about 25 years ago, I wanted to learn the Bible. It took me a while. It takes a while to study, to read, and to have, for me, the books that also coordinated with the Bible. And all that reading is what brought me to faith in Jesus Christ. It just became so obvious. And I think about the people who have a different experience. Sometimes it is a few minutes with another believer, and then they come to believe. Now, there are little things that we can be, confused about. And I remember here was about 30 years ago, I was listening to the radio, and I heard a Bible story on the radio. It just sounded like a Bible story. It sounded like King James English, and it sounded like I should listen to it. But as I listened, I said to myself, that's not a Bible story. I've never read that in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. And so I kept listening, and there were little errors in the story. And I found out at the end of that broadcast that it was not a Christian broadcast. It was a Mormon broadcast, and they were reading from their own book. It was not the Bible, but it sounded like the Bible. And that is another thing that we have to be careful of, that we know the Bible well enough so that we do not get confused by what somebody else is telling us. I've heard people who want to quote the Bible. Often it's right, and often it's not right because they forget a word or two. So it's something that we want to know the Bible well enough so that we are not confused when we hear someone talk about the Bible. Or if there's a broadcast like I heard on the radio that sounded like Bible, but no, it wasn't. It was the wrong book. So I urge everyone to study the Bible so that they know it. And that reminds me of 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And I guess you can question what it is the study is about. Well, then, yeah, you read it and get your own sense of it. But continuing with that quote, a workman needeth not to be ashamed of dividing, of rightly dividing the word of truth, which is God's word. So we learn things and then we apply it, and it sure does help if we are familiar with the Bible. We do live in the world, and we are confronted with so much of the world, but we are not of the world. That's John 17:16, that we live in the world, but we are not of the world. So that's a part of our challenge as we go through life, to know God through Jesus Christ. And of course, that includes knowing the Bible very well. Sometimes it's a challenge to understand what is going on around us. And sometimes we get confused even, and then we have to look things up. So please do look it up and try to figure out what it is that you need to know and understand about the Bible. There are things going on in the world. Some of them are with difficulty, and some of them are just plain life. And there are many ways that we can read the Bible and apply it to our life, whether it is a difficulty or just plain ordinary life. The Bible is a good book to read, to know, and to understand. It helps us get through the events of life, including the dangers that are all around us. And I mean, right now, we are at a time in history when we do see wars and rumors of war. We see people who want to eliminate America and eliminate Americans. So it's something that we can be guided by the biblical principles and try to understand. One of the things that I have seen going on is the growth of communist beliefs, how there are communists around the world, in Russia, in China, in other countries as well, and they want to dominate the world because they believe their system is correct and capitalism is not correct. We learn from the examples. We learn from the testimony of people. I remember a fellow who I liked listening to was a KGB agent who escaped to America. His name was Bezmenov. Bezmenov, yes. And so he had he now has a testimony on YouTube that you can look up, and it talks about what he learned in the KGB and how to infiltrate and to change a culture. He was in India for a while. He was in America for a while. And so he tells about his experience. And now there are people from communist China who are also infiltrating America so that they can turn America into a communist state. Now, the thing about communism is not just that it is a way of the economic life that impoverishes most of the people, but it also is against God. And this is a part of what we study and we learn when we talk to people about their experiences in a communist country or what they knew about communism in an intellectual way. And so we want to recognize what is right in front of us and who wants America to change. I know there's plenty of American people who warn America that there is a war against Americans and that there are war plans to destroy America either by terrorism or a nuclear weaponry. That has been going on. Now, that's been going on for a couple of years now. And if you listen to the leaders of other countries, you hear them say a very similar thing, that they don't like what America is doing, and they want to take over America. Now, sometimes they say it plainly. Sometimes you have to look a little deeper to find out what they are saying and what it implies. But I do think it's pretty clear. And if you don't think so, then I hope you look it over more closely, because it's pretty plain to me. The countries around the world want what America has. And so often in history, the way to get what another country has is to go to war with them, dominate them, or kill the people who are in that other country and take what they have. That is a way of history. It's so regular. It has happened repeatedly over and over again. All the countries have had rulers who want what another tribe or country has had, and so they take it over. Often they kill the people, and then they take what they want. This is the way it's worked for thousands of years. So we ought to be aware that we have that threat in America, where there are people who want what we have. Some of them are communists, some of them are socialists, some of them are Nazis, and some of us just want the money we have and say, send us money for weapons. We want to hire more soldiers. We want the artillery to shoot the enemy with. This is going on all over the world right now, and we see it in countries that we are involved with. We see it going on in our neighboring, like in Mexico. We have a big contest going on, where there are a question of if we should fight the cartels in Mexico using our military assets. So somehow we have these questions in front of us, and we have to decide how we're going to deal with the threats that are in front of us from the people and the countries that want to destroy America. The answers are right in front of us, because if we don't decide in advance, we will have to decide when the violence gets to be right in front of us. And somehow, our intelligence agencies are also warning us that there are threats around. Last year, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, for that whole year was warning Congress and the Senate and the American public as well that there were warning lights going off all across America. I guess there's a question if we believe it. Do we believe that there really are terrorists in our country? That there really are terrorist cells that want to destroy America? Well, the testimony is there. And it's probably a question of how do we hear that there are communist forces and Islamic forces that want to destroy America? There are people from other countries who governments, they want to destroy America, like Cuba and Venezuela. The data has been published. When I was young, I used to read those magazines or newspapers that they would distribute for free to the college students so they could encourage them to follow and believe in communism. And they could tell about how great communism was. Yeah, I for a couple of years, one professor in particular wanted his students to read the newspapers and magazines of communism. So, yeah, I read them, but it was obvious to me that it was something I didn't want for America. But I'm sure there were a few people who did not see it. So they would have become sympathetic to a communistic way of life. for the farmers, especially in other countries. But it's a problem for the people who embrace communism. And I think about the people in Hong Kong, how, 2 years ago or so, there were the protests that said they wanted to have an American system, and they spoke about the founding fathers of America with admiration. And they said that's what they wanted their area to turn into, where there were heroes of the American Revolution. Well, communist China put down all that opposition to the Chinese communists, and many people were arrested and put in prisons or went to court in mainland China, and they suffered. The pro-democratic people in Hong Kong, they suffered. There are things we learn about the world if we just look. And I think of the Chinese government officials that I have heard about or heard the statements that they make. Of course, it's translated from Chinese to English. But when you hear it enough times, you get to have a pretty good sense of what is real and what is propaganda. Speaking of real, there is a YouTube channel called Lei's Real Talk. It's spelled L-E-I-S, Real Talk. A Chinese-speaking woman who talks about what people in China have been saying. And so she obviously has a pro-American view, and so she tells about what the Chinese leadership, including military or domestic government people, have been saying about how China is. It's actually a very interesting program. There are many interesting programs. And so we hear about things about China that you don't hear on other channels, like how Xi Jinping supports the Marxist philosophies, and he even... doing that, he has promoted his own family members to become wealthy, and how they have millions of dollars in his immediate family. So it's a question that we really don't have much exposure to, because the media just doesn't tell us about it most of the time. The media doesn't tell us about the terrorists that want to come to America to kill America and Americans. It's something that if you look, you see, but we just don't have enough exposure to the history books to recognize the actual propaganda in other countries that are against Americans. And there are people who we can look at and read the original writings of Lenin and Stalin and Castro and Xi and Mao Zedong. And there are many leaders who we can hear the original writings of and see that really we don't want anything to do with them. We can see how in the world there is fighting. Whew. Look at the people that are going to Ukraine to fight. And how, what is going on there between Ukraine and Russia? How Russia just had the largest attack in history done with drones. Ukraine sent, where's my recollection? Something like 600 drones to Russia, and there were also missiles that went and struck Russia. So that was right when Putin asked for a 3-day ceasefire, and Ukraine responded with the biggest drone attack in history. It's something that we can be aware of, that these things are going on. Yeah, it was 500 drones. There were 500 and 20, as I recall. And there were missiles like the Neptune missile and the JDAM guided bombs that were sent from Ukraine into Russia. So I just mean it's a real thing that we have going on. There is war going on, and it could come to America. There are plenty of people who have corruption overseas, and they want war. Oh, there's corruption in USA, too. I just looked at a report that said that the Clinton Foundation had received $2 billion in, oh, that was like in 2018 or 19. So there are things going on, and we would do well to be aware of it, both for the elements of corruption and for the elements of how things are going to influence life in the United States. Money influences life, and somehow we just don't recognize it. Sometimes we do after the fact. And that reminds me of what has been said many times. The first casualty of war is truth. And that's something that we want to be aware of, that there are lies going on from every side, both what we see as the American side and the sides that are opposing America. Lies, lies, and lies. So how do we discern the truth? Well, I think it's really a good thing to pray and ask God to help you with discernment. But we do want to be careful what we believe and recognize where what is proposed will actually lead to. The secrets are all over. When I think about, just look back to Kennedy assassination and Martin Luther King assassination. Well, how many years did it take us to learn something about that? And even when we did learn something about it, there were so many parts that were hidden that we just don't know what we are going to learn as we have things revealed to us. Still, we have great hope for America. We want our republic to prosper as our liberty is preserved. And that's something I think we can all pray for, that we have the republic form of government preserved. Now, we have a democratic form of elections, but our form of government is a republic. And that means we all have a certain element of, well, it is freedom, but it's also that we all have rights based under the Constitution. So we want to preserve the republic and not the democratic way of life. It's something we can all pray for if we would just say something, address God and ask Him to preserve the country, preserve us, preserve the republic and the liberty that we have. We want to be also saved for eternity, saved from hellfire, and have that heavenly future. Well, we do give thanks to God for all of our blessings, for the liberty that we have and that we live here in America. Lord God, we thank you. Now, America has always been under attack from other forces, and we just see it in new ways right now. There is different ways, and I did mention terrorism, but there's also an economic warfare going on, and people who want to just plain destroy America so they can have what America has. So it's a way of the world. It's as old as mankind. So we want to preserve America, and I urge everyone to pray for America. You can listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. Look for the one that says with John Stephenson, because there are like three Christ Todays out there. And I do also invite you to ask for a preparedness brochure that I have. If you send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, I will get that right back in the mail to you. It is free, and it is intended to help you to be motivated to prepare for different things. It might be a natural disaster. It might be a different kind of event, but somehow you're going to need a few things to survive: water, food, and warmth. So you can write me for my preparedness brochure, John Stephenson, at P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Remember to live for Jesus Christ and stay strong in the Lord with the Holy Spirit. I pray for God's blessing upon everyone and that they turn to Christ with all their mind and their heart. Thank you for listening today, and God bless you.